The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight for this last show before I go on a small vacation. I need to go on a vacation for 2 days. I will be celebrating happy events in the family. I'm getting started tonight with this bottle of wine, Fontana Freddo Barolo 2017 Italian wine. Denomination of origin. Let's open this. Grape variety 100% Nebbiolo. I don't know what Nebbiolo is. I may never have had a wine made of this grape. I've never seen those words. But maybe they're the Italian word for something else that I know about. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? It's crazy what's been happening with the Charlie Kirk stuff. Pretty crazy. Do-do-do-do-do. Let's see. Whoa. This wine color, I have rarely seen this. Almost amber. Amber red wine. Wow. Well. A wine with its own personality. This is very distinct from what I've been drinking before in my life. Very interesting, very sweet. Wow. Need for Life says, perhaps JFG can tell us whether Max Blumenthal is based or unbased. I don't know who that is. Max Blumenthal. Maybe I have to see his face too. Okay, so Max Blumenthal is this guy at Gray Zone who did some of the coverage about Israel being involved with the Charlie Kirk murder. Well, most importantly, Israel being rejected by Charlie Kirk in May before the murder happened. And now I see his X account. I'm following him. So he is the editor at the Gray Zone. I don't know much about him. I've not been seeing his face much. Not been paying much attention. People are saying he's some sort of a anti-Zionist Jew. Okay. I don't know. Right now, we have a lot of reproach being sent toward Israel. Today, the big news are revolving indeed around this claim by the Gray Zone. And I've been talking about it yesterday with Richard. And Song to the Nut says, your audio is cooked, JF. Hello? Yeah. Test. Okay. Yeah. I don't hear massive wrongness with it. There may be a little shh maybe a small background noise that comes with it, which I would like to fix and everything. But I don't think if my audio is to the point where it's burping or roboting for you, I think it's on your side the problem. Other people are telling me audio is fine. Wow, what a fascinating wine. What a fascinating wine color. I wish you could see. Hopefully when I'm at the bottom of it, but it's very amber. It's almost like whiskey. Wow. Tryhard says Max Blumenthal is the one who co-wrote the hit piece on Nick Fuentes being a fed. Ah, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Because I'm starting to see the gangs of New York, bro. I'm starting to see Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, and Max Blumenthal. And now that you're telling me that he was part of this whole operation against Nick, and you know, even you see Candace Owens going to Nick Fuentes and complaining that Nick Fuentes is presenting himself as a victim. You know, Nick Fuentes, rightfully so, was complaining, hey, stop telling lies about me, or trying to stop claiming that the shooter would be a groiper. It's impossible. And Candace Owens tried to frame this as, oh, you're trying to make yourself the victim. Well, it's like, before who's the victim and who's not, we have to tell the truth. And the fight for the truth and these people who are trying to mislead the public into not understanding what this murder is about, that is a big thing we need to do. And it was okay for Nick to do so. It was not him trying to put himself forward. It was him. Because as long as people are deluded that, oh, the shooter may be a groper. And in fact, yesterday it seemed that as I started to speak with Richard Spencer, Richard may have been open to that hypothesis. I think that once I presented all of the stack of evidence that points to leftism here, I think that Richard accepted my case and he doesn't think anymore that it could be a groper. All right. Yeah, I'm just stunned at what we see in terms of Jan Carroll pushing immediately the Israeli angle to the point where you're ridiculing yourself. Because if you're just going to bark at Israel, you're not even useful for the anti-Zionist side. Because you have to be able to say, I'm barking at Israel for this reason. You have to be able to justify. You have to be able to justify why. Why should you be pissed at Israel in this particular case? And there was just not enough evidence to say, it's Israel for sure. There still isn't. And yet, Jan Carroll, like 4 days ago, just goes, yeah, it's Israel. Israel, you've done your last mistake, Israel. So this morning, I came out with a critique of Jan, this conspiracy guy, Jan Carroll. Because three errors in three tweets about it. One, attacking, saying it's Israel without evidence. You need evidence. You need to, and it needs to be more than circumstantial evidence and, oh, it sounds like. No, you need to base your reasoning, your reporting on evidence. Errors on the interpretation of ballistics and how they work. And you know, there's all these people, 30-06. Bro, 30-06, bruh. What 30-06? 30-06, bro, will blow your head, bro. I've seen a video on YouTube. And it's like, oh yeah, let's go see this video. And this was another thing that Ian Carroll was poorly reporting about, this video where a 30-06, that is 30-06 type of bullet, ends up blowing up a ballistic gel with a cranium inside. But here's the key. YouTube creators know how to create a beautiful explosion. And it's not for no reason that there was a cranium in the ballistic gel. The cranium in the ballistic gel ensures that the bullet collides with something, creates a shockwave of explosive force that can resonate and explode the ballistic gel. There are many very, very high-powered bullets that will just create a line. Scalpel-like line into the ballistic gel without exploding it. So, of course, the people who create YouTube videos, they are after the most spectacular outcome. That doesn't mean any 30-06 bullet. And by the way, to just talk about the caliber is to forget a whole other domain, which is the tip, the point type of the bullet. There are bullets that are designed to go through everything. And most likely, if you do long-range shooting and you want precision, it's probably one of those very sharp-tip bullets. Because you're not shooting at close range with the idea of neutralizing someone. So all of this, a lack of mastery from... again, Ian Carroll. So, and on top of it, poor reporting about the family member. He still has the lie that his dad is a policeman. I debunked that lie 4 days ago on the spot. Like within 30 minutes after the lie came out on the internet, I had done the research to find a debunk. So you have three errors in Ian Carroll's reporting. Major ones. They are major objective journalistic errors.
Overdue donation. Cheers.
Wow, Naberius, $145. Thank you so much, bro. Thank you so much. I can go in peace through my vacation thanks to your generosity. Absolutely. Thank you. Need for Life says, thanks, I ought to know better. Oh yeah, because instead of saying 30-06, they say 30-ought. And it's A-U-G-H-T. I don't know what it means in English. Honestly, I had to check it out on the internet. It's very important that we fill these voids of lack of artistry in the news reporting domain, because I see a lot of the same epistemological mistakes being made. And it's more than just a single guy like Ian Carroll. When I see his troops, when I see the people like him, the conspiratory crews of the internet, they come and they do these failed arguments with me on Twitter. And it's very clear that they are thinking in broken ways.
They haven't said how it's possible that someone who doesn't have a gun on the camera ends up having a gun in the forest and dropping it.
And it's like, well, false assumption. You assume that he doesn't have a gun on the camera. People have been doing the tracking, looking slow motion. He's carrying an object, a long object with a barrel in a towel. That's probably the gun. So when you start with just a false assumption, it's like the guy was convinced, well, he didn't have his gun, and yet they're saying they found it in the forest, therefore it's a planted gun. Now, do you realize how much you drift away from the truth? How easy it is to drift? Completely miss? It's like you go from... you. just happen not to have seen this very obvious gun that this guy is carrying to the police is lying to us. They have planted false evidence. There's some people who are trying to make us think that Tyler Robinson is the shooter when he's not. You drift super quick. There was another guy convinced this cannot have been a 30-06 bullet. So it must have been someone around Charlie Kirk that had a secret gun under their shoulder. It's like, wow, bro. You're talking about the difference between a directional shot where you can see that crowds have turned over the sniper nest. When you heard the shot on the video, people turned to the right where the sniper nest was. So it's almost impossible that the shot came from 1 meter from Charlie by the old boomer guy who's crossing his hands bizarrely. It's like, oh, okay, but some people happen to have bizarre hand crossing position. We're far from a micro gun shot controlled by AI to blow Charlie Kirk's neck from behind. Count of Flanders says, Jeff, I nervously spoke on your last Twitter space where I attempted to say that I didn't think the Irina Zarutska stabbing would be impactful. I rescind my statement in the wake of last week's events. Okay. I mean, who knows? Who knows? I don't have a strong position. But it's okay that you are rescinding your statement. I mean, Irina was kind of forgotten, let me tell you, under the Charlie Kirk craziness, Irina is not being remembered very much. Maybe it will come back. Maybe with time we will think of those moments where both Irina and Charlie Kirk were killed. Blimpy Supervisor says, the fog of war settles into a permanent haze in a multiracial society. Yeah, we are in the midst of chaos. Chaos, really. That's what I would describe. Chaos. Where the people on your side aren't particularly to be trusted either. They're bad. The thinking is bad. The conclusions are bad. But we have Candace here definitely going on a... You have a team that is emerging around the Charlie Kirk angle. And even Tucker Carlson appears to be taking position on some stuff. They are different in their way of treating this. And they insist that Charlie Kirk was at odds with Bibi Netanyahu before the murder.
Denied, and what Bibi didn't include there, he declined to go to Israel for, I would describe this as like, you know, re-education camp, you know. We've seen it. You made an uh-oh, but we can help you. You know, we just need you to come out to Auschwitz and take a picture. Yeah. We just need you to come to the Holocaust Museum and take a photo. We just need you to go to Israel and we can make this better. Charlie said no to Bibi. Okay. Relax.
By the way, the politicians who do this, I've come back from it. And Matt Gaetz has reported this. They invite you to this museum thing. And while you are taken to the museum, they send Mossad agents to install electronic devices into your cell phone. Literally, we know that's what's happening. So they want you to be there physically present, both for the photo shoot opportunity and the public record. But they inject tracking devices into your phone in a way that perhaps gets them blackmail material down the line. Extremely dirty, by the way. If you're if you're a politician, if you're a Nick Fuentes ninja style emerging political force of the new generation, make sure you bring a fake cell phone, a burner to Israel when you do your trip to the Holocaust Museum. Bring a burner phone, burner clothes. Make sure that when you come back, you can throw it all in the trash. Count of Flanders says, to elaborate, I think it will be more impactful because of the perfect storm of events recently. Sam Hyde has tied the two events together on his show yesterday, and he has a large audience. Yes, it could be. I think, though, it is very hard to be remembered in the news cycle. Let me tell you, a lot of people have the delusion that the last 48 hours always determines the future. The fact is, most of the time, it doesn't quite matter. And most of the time, a lot gets forgotten.
And if you would like to dispute that, I would love to hear what you say happened, because our sources and what we have, it's solid. Okay. There were conversations that took place, messages that were sent at that time, and they are solid. So I decided, another person that was there, and I am not surprised this person was there, if you've been listening to my show, Seth Dillon, I was going to go out to Seth Dillon, and I decided to message him last night about this Hamptons meeting. And Seth Dillon, who is normally very quick with a response, has not yet been able to respond. I'll show you this text message chain. And I want to be clear, I am not someone who normally publicizes text messages. But my friend was shot in the neck. And I'm just not really in the state right now to.
Candace with her Stanley Cup. She's done fucking around. With her Stanley Cup, she's like, Candace is done. Now she's become Candace.
Be polite when it comes to the answers that I am demanding, okay? This is me out to Seth Dillon last night.
So Bill Ackman had come publicly and had said, I feel incredibly privileged to have spent a day and shared a meal with Charlie Kirk this summer. He was a giant of a man. She says, any comment on this one, Seth? I need a comment ASAP, please. Trying again here. You were present when Ackman lost his mind on Charlie and when Bibi invited him to Israel and Charlie refused. Text messages immediately following this meeting are circulating. I find Ackman's statements, as though the meeting was somehow cordial, to be incredibly disturbing. Are you at all disturbed by that tweet? Do you feel, as I do, that this tweet significantly betrays the defined purpose and mood of his, and I presume your, final meeting with Charlie Kirk? So Candace Owen is sending arrows toward the Jews, saying, you guys are organizing a lie about the true nature of your relationship with Starley. With Starley. I was reading the Stanley Cup on the regular chat, with Charlie, and you're basically hiding that you were in a conflict, that you were doing a last ditch before he was killed. You were doing a last ditch effort to try to bring him into the fold. You were trying to say, Charlie, this is your last chance. We're going to treat you as an anti-Semite if you keep up. That is basically where Charlie was at with Israeli powers.
Sent him Bill Ackman's tweets because, you know, he tweeted, I feel incredibly privileged to have spent a day and shared a meal with Charlie Kirk this summer. He was a giant of a man. I said, any comment on this one?
And so Candace is into the calling of the hypocrisy because she knows these people. She knows the meeting was much more roughened and much more a point of conflict rather than a point of association with the Jews. And they are hypocritically going out there and trying to make it look like, oh no, we were such good friends with Charlie. Of course, now that Charlie is dead, they don't care about honoring his legacy because Now they can lie about his legacy and he's not there to change their statement. Both Candace Owens and Mike Cernovich are now revealing new details about the pressure Charlie Kirk was under before his death. Kirk was reportedly on the verge of losing his last major donor after refusing demands to ban Tucker Carlson from his event. Very interesting. So they had decided that Tucker Carlson was an anti-Semite. Now, of course he's not, and of course Tucker Carlson is very pro-Zionist. But interestingly, the Jews are greedy enough not to recognize an ally in Tucker Carlson. Isn't that fascinating? So we have this Candace, Charlie Kirk, Candace, Charlie Kirk, Tucker, Jan Carroll. This group is becoming something. Let me see. Someone has sent a link. Nick Frontes questions if Candace Owens is any different than Irina Zarutska's killer. Let's see what this says.
Tell me, in what meaningful way is Candace Owens different than the killer, other than she's yet to kill? She's literally a schizophrenic black man. The black man that stabbed this woman said to, like, alien.
Okay, that's interesting. Yes, I don't think Candace will kill. But she has the slightly schizophrenic black personality that in a male with heightened violence will lead to a kill. He's right. She has the crazy eyes. She is just that she doesn't have the testosterone, so it's very unlikely that we'll see Candace Owens just killing a random white person. But she has what it takes in terms of psychosis.
We're talking to him. That's practically what Candace Owens is saying every day. Do you see her show these past couple days? She's saying, like, the Stanford Prison Experiment, every number that the prisoner wore corresponds to a military base. And she said that the Macrons were in the cult of Dionysus. And it's just like, every day it just gets crazier. So yeah, she's a legitimate schizophrenic black man. I'm surprised that I let myself walk into her house. I guess I thought it was cool if her husband was white. But if I saw Candace Owens walking down the street late at night, I would turn and run the other way. Because around blacks, never relax. I don't care who they are. You know, if I saw Candace Owens walking down the street with those broad shoulders, those long arms swinging, I don't know what fucking gender she is. You don't know these days. You can't tell. She looks like a young adolescent black man, like, can do the right thing. She looks like bugging out. She looks like Mookie. She's like Mookie from Do the Right Thing. She's going to throw a trash can through Kuiper headquarters. She looks like Mookie. She looks like fucking Spike Lee. I see Candace Owens come down the street late at night. I can't tell. It's too dark to see. All I see are her eyes and her teeth. I don't know.
I think there's a lot of comedy in there. I think it's not serious, but yeah, Nick is hitting on a comedic point at the edge of what you can say, you know. These things, comedians, they never go there. They never go there. And yet Nick will go there. And it's race. And it's because everything in there is tied to race. You know, the whole idea that you see a black person only, you see their teeth and eyes in the dark. The rest is camouflage. Yeah, very interesting. This is the kind of comedy that cannot exist anymore. It really can exist only into independent creators. You'll never see someone from the system go into these racial themes. Now, it is not a... I don't agree with the statement primarily. I don't think Candace Owens is a killer, literally. But it's very... it's very talented performance comedy here by Nick Frontes. That's what I would say. Charlie Kirk assassin posted confession on Discord. So we are learning that perhaps, but well, it's what's reported, at least here on Fox News. A last sentence by the assassin on Discord. Hey, guys, I have bad news for you all. It was me at the UVU yesterday. I'm sorry for all this. Thanks for all the good times and laughs. So after being in that joke mode and, you know, I have a doppelganger, someone that looks like me may have killed Charlie Kirk. Someone that looks like me appears to have dropped a rifle in the woods. He says it clearly at the end. Thanks for the fun and the good times and the laughs. And it was me. It was me at UVU yesterday. I'm sorry for all this. Interesting to get more insight into how his confession eventually made it into his arrest. And he was explaining, according to the message, he was explaining that he was about to surrender through a sheriff friend of his, which would be compatible with the story that we've been told. Rudy Lacid says, so moral of the story is never make friends on Discord. Now all those people in that group are under FBI scrutiny. It's very special, this Discord environment, because I've always taken Discord as a TeamSpeak replacement for gamers. It seems that it's how it started. Discord was a replacement for what used to be TeamSpeak. TeamSpeak was basically Discord, but it was software that was less web-like, that was more like really Windows 98 style, click on a room, join a room. But it was basically, if you look at the basic functionality of Discord, it is a user interface, cuter user interface for TeamSpeak. But eventually, Discord developed into these servers and these servers, some of them are unrelated to gaming. Some of them are old friends getting together. Guy Slapkin says, self-host your own Discord alternative like Matrix or Mumble. I tried self-hosting Matrix. I mean, I've put it up together and I'll be back. Frog Eyes says, Discord is fucking brilliant. Most feature-rich community-building software out there, period. End of the line, Joel says, imagine if the roles were reversed. It's so obvious at this point. We don't need any more examples. We know already. Daniel Penny, George Floyd, Ahmed Arbery, Charlie Kirk are just the latest examples. Yeah, Hassan Piker is also a guy who's been calling for violence regularly, being criticized by Nick Fuentes today. Hassan Piker should be banned on Twitch and then deported back to Turkey. And before people on our side cry about hypocrisy, remember that you can't say the word simp or retard on the platform, but you can openly incite murder against conservatives. Enough is enough. Absolutely correct, given the intensity which we are banned for just sometimes using a funny word, I like to use retarded. I love the return of the retarded on the internet because I miss that word. I love this word. It has good rhythm to it. But yeah, you say retarded and they accuse you of being an ableist.
I will say, JF, no matter what happens, a great memetic force was unleashed by the murder of Charlie Kirk. These videos from South Korea, Australia, Europe, etc., and the international influence is probably more than any plotter could have hoped for.
Absolutely. You know, if Charlie Kirk doesn't die, you wouldn't have a movement of solidarity between random people in South Korea and the UK. And, you know, there is a get-together effect that was created by the death of Charlie Kirk. There is definitely going to be increased interest in developing TPUSA chapters. There's going to be more people going at the church. You know, I saw the filming of Q's at the church, and there's just more people that they react to the death of Charlie Kirk by going to the church. Yeah, definitely these effects will be very positive. The night before his assassination, Charlie Kirk met with Israeli National Rabbi Pesach Wolicki to discuss how to defend Israel effectively on campus, according to Wolicki. During their conversation, Kirk was arguing for the anti-Israel side, even if only rhetorically. He was working out talking points, playing the role of the devil's advocate. It's like, did Charlie Kirk die because he won in a play debate, playing the devil's advocate side, acting on the side of anti-Israel? Unbelievable. Charlie Kirk, the night before he was shot, was playing the anti-Semite, anti-Zionist role in a game with Rabbi Pesach Wolicki. You can't make this shit up. He was working out talking points, trying to sharpen the iron. He was in a combative mood, which is good. He was preparing for debates, attacks, the rabbi added. So Charlie Kirk had this practice of sharpening his debate skill, preparing. Here's everything that they could come up with. And here he was acting out the anti-Zionist arguments, something that many Jews would just call anti-Semitic side of the argumentation with a fucking rabbi. Wow. This is not something, you can't make this shit up. It has to come from reality. Darko Malfoy says, Jeff, if 8chan was deleted after Brendan Tarrant, should Reddit and Discord be banned now? I realize you're a free speech guy, but these sites have facilitated direct calls to violence. Well, I am not on the side of deleting them. I'm on the side of allow me back. Allow me back on YouTube. Give us, and not shadow ban, not tricked to stay small. Give me, just like Elon Musk did with X, he proved that you can just take over the whole thing, disable the shadow banning, and oops, somehow JF's tweets become interesting again. Somehow, I had zero attention given to me while I was banned. I was starting to have shut down tweet attention by the shadow banning system before I was banned. Suddenly, Elon Musk takes Twitter, and suddenly there are some of my tweets that make 3 million, 5 million impressions. This is exactly what needs to happen with YouTube. And it needs to be the realization that there needs to be an objective definition for what is a call to violence that everyone can follow. And then there needs to be complete respect of the borderline content. Because what Susan Wojcicki called borderline content is just, let's just punish those people who have the wrong opinion. Because, of course, if you have this loose description of a borderline violation, but not violation of the hate speech rules, then you can manipulate it in any direction you want. So my point is, I don't even care that Hassan Piker is out there doing calls of violence or whatever, but allow me back on Twitch, because I don't even do appeals to violence, and I'm not allowed on Twitch. John Drake says, you might be allowed back on YouTube. They have let a lot of people back, and they have loosened up the censorship amazingly. Yes, I was speaking with Mark Collette about being excited at the idea. Could there be a return to YouTube? I'm not feeling it yet. I'm not feeling into the game of lowering my speech. I have developed an habit here on Rumble to make jokes that I like to do, to use words that I like to use. I love the word retarded. I don't want to go back in the cage yet. If YouTube was truly free, I would be perhaps more willing to come back to it. Rodilacid says they also changed what was acceptable. You could say something today that will not be acceptable in the future and get a strike. Oh yeah, that was terrible. Because you had to carry your whole history of speech in your head and be like, oh, okay, this new rule now. It does seem like it's been designed for me. It does seem like they're like, how do we ban JF? How do we go harder? How do we find a reason to ban JF? Well, let's invent a new rule. And that was mental torture for creators. Okay, we'll be soon ending the show because I want to cut it short. I'm headed toward maybe one day, maybe 2 days of vacation, celebrating amazing events in the family. Everything is great, but I need time to just enjoy the joy. And JD Vance, we can listen to what he had to say as a last news item.
That I will tell you a difficult truth. We can only have it with people who acknowledge that political violence is unacceptable, and when we work to dismantle the institutions that promote violence and terrorism in our own country. Now, our government, you heard me talk to Stephen Miller about this, will be working very hard to do exactly that in the months to come. We're not always going to get it right. We will sometimes move more slowly than you would like. We will sometimes move more slowly than I want us to. But I promise you that we will explore every option to bring real unity to our country and stop those who would kill their fellow Americans because they don't like what they say. But you have a role too. Civil society, Charlie understood this well, is not just something that flows from the government. It flows from each and every one of us. It flows from all of us. So when you see someone celebrating Charlie's murder, call them out in hell. Call their employer. We don't believe in political violence, but we do believe in civility. And there is no civility in the celebration of political assassination.
So basically, J.D. Vance is at this boomer war level where he's into this whole witch hunt that has been developing through mainstream voices of conservatism on X lately in the last few days. The pursuit of a cancel culture of the left. And I say, sure, do it. You know, let yourself go. Having a random stochastic mechanism through which we get random leftist fired is always good. There's nothing bad about it there. But be careful, because you're cultivating a witch hunt system. You're cultivating a social system of exclusionary social arrangements. And when you are elevating cancel culture, you are eventually building inevitably something that will turn against you, that will turn against your most original thinkers, that will turn against your most edgy thinkers. And cancel culture was bad on the left for a reason, you know? So be careful. What I say to the right-wingers is, I can't join your cancel culture. And I would tell you, even if you want to do it without me, go ahead. And I don't have any pity for the leftists. They're losing their job and it's fantastic. But you are playing with fire, and one day cancel culture, once it has digested all of the leftists that it can, inevitably cancel culture gets it wrong. I'm the exact example you want as an example of cancel culture just being absolute mob justice of the worst kind. There's millions of people out there who are convinced that I have killed Mama JF. And I see them every time I go back to YouTube. And it's basically all the normies. All the normie chatters on YouTube. They all think I killed Mama JF. It's impossible for me to go on a show before they show in the hundreds and in the thousands saying, "You killed Mama JF. Where's the body?" So careful with cancel culture. The mobs are fucking retarded. They typically don't have good epistemology. They typically aren't good at finding the truth at all. That is my message to the right. Dear friends of the show, I'm going on a vacation. Thank you so much for the support. Naberius, massive donation. Anonymous, thank you so much for the donation tonight. Thank you to all who are donating on a regular basis, allowing my wonderful life to continue through Patreon and Subscribestar. You guys are making my life possible. I need one or two days of break. The news are amazing. Much love, everyone. Smile, love, and hug your loved ones. Bye-bye.